of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Petitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
A radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Petitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. And with me today at the red radio mic is Presbytera Katarina, who'll be greeting you momentarily. We have missed 2 weeks with you. The 1 week was the Western celebration of Pascha. That is to say, the Friday before Good Friday for the Western celebration. And then the last week we missed was our Good Friday. Now, that of course begs the question, why do we have two different dates? And the simple answer is that the Orthodox Easter has to follow the Jewish Passover. So it has all the other requirements, the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, and so forth. But it is also in our tradition that we follow the Jewish Passover. So it just often puts us off by a week. Sometimes we're in the same day. Sometimes we're off by 5 weeks. But this year, by 1 week. So we wish to all of you who hopefully are still basking in the joy of the resurrection, Christos Anesti, Christ is risen. That was the hymn that we just played a minute ago, Christos Anesti.
Upon you in the sanctuary, behold. to praise you.
As we said, we missed the Good Friday. I'm not going to talk about that now, but we will talk a little bit today about the resurrection. And all I can say to you about that is there is no higher, holier, more joyful, more radiant, more beautiful, more endearing, more transforming holiday in the Orthodox Church than that of the resurrection. It's the best. who was on the radio, red radio microphone this morning, this afternoon?
And that would be Presbytera Katerina.
Yasu Christos Anesti Presbytera.
Alithos Anesti.
We should teach people that in our 40 days of Easter, we greet each other with the greeting, Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Alithos Anesti. And what does that mean? One translation, Christ is risen. And the response?
Indeed, or truly.
Truly he is risen.
Now, indeed and truly don't necessarily mean the same things, but alithos can mean either indeed or.
Oh. Well, because alithia means truth, so I always think of it as truly.
Yeah, I know.
You think it means indeed too?
Well, it means it really happened.
Okay. Well, it did really happen. And I was in the beautiful epistle we're reading today, St. Peter is giving one of his first sermons after the resurrection, and he's so confident. And here's the man who was so afraid before, and he says, we have seen him risen from the dead. We are preaching that which we've seen. We know he rose from the dead.
Yeah, and he had a few other people who saw him too, so they all said it.
Yeah, they all said it together.
And they said it in different ways apart.
Yes, well, the Bible... if you enjoy reading the Bible, the resurrection stories are kind of interesting. And they're interesting in some ways because they're at times seemingly contradictory. And fathers of the church have spent time trying to somehow wed them together. But I think that even the contradictory aspect shouldn't be something that puts us off and say, well, therefore it didn't happen. No, it actually, for me anyway, is a confirmation that it happened because there's that sort of a chaotic moment when they're really not sure how to talk about this thing that happened. One of my favorite, again, somehow contradictions, is in the Gospel of Mark. It says that the women saw the angel and they went home afraid. They didn't tell anybody anything. But in all the other Gospel readings, we read that the myrrh-bearing women quickly went and told everybody. So,
well, they at least told the guys in the upper room.
They told the guy, you mean the holy apostles?
Yeah.
Sometimes referred to as guys. But yeah, they told the holy apostles and they also told other friends and neighbors and so forth. But they told no one. So what did they tell no one? Perhaps there was just a moment when they were tongue-tied and they didn't say anything because they were afraid. But I think they quickly overcame that. But in Mark's gospel, it's like a snapshot, you know? Can you imagine someone takes a picture of you who just won the lottery? And you have this look of terror on your face. You know, ah! But if they took the photo just maybe 30 seconds later, you'd be jumping up for joy and happiness and so forth. But the snapshot that Mark is taking is that moment when they're like, ah, I can't say anything. I just saw someone risen from the dead. What do I do with that? So I think that those seeming contradictions are actually wonderful confirmations of the truthfulness of the gospel.
Yeah, but, you know, it would have been nice if the women could have written it themselves, but who knows if they even knew how to write.
Well, that's interesting theory you're bringing up. There is a theory. Now, granted, it's not a scholarly theory as of yet.
Don't tell me one of those guys is really a girl.
No, there's this theory that there is a gospel that predates the other gospels, and they call it Q. Have you heard of that?
Oh, I have heard of this Q thing.
Okay. And the reason they theorize there's this Q is because so much of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar. They have similar starts and similar endings. And so the theory is that there must have been an original text. Well, they've never found that text. But there's nothing to say it wasn't an oral tradition. Now, who, if you look at the letter Q on the Greek, on the, if you write it in English, you see a big round O with a line that comes down the side. Now, if you look at the letter theta in Greek, well, that's a big round O with a line across the middle, a theta. And theta is the symbol for the Theotokos. It's her. So if anybody is the writer of the gospel, in my opinion, the original text, it's the Virgin Mary. She's the source code, in my opinion. So, as I said, it's not a scholarly opinion yet. There are others who have the same opinion, not just Father Paul. But it hasn't made it to the level of scholarly because there's no way to prove it. It's just a theory, as they say. But it could be. She was certainly there at almost everything that Christ did, so she would be a good eyewitness. Anyway, so now we're talking about the resurrection. So the resurrection is a great source of joy for us because we think in our lives about things that are so hard, so difficult, that they maybe take our breath away. They're so profoundly hard and challenging to deal with. And we say, how do we face such a challenge in our life? And then we hear this silent voice. Just earlier, you were listening to the radio program right before our own, and the pastor there was saying, we have to listen to the silent voice of God. And what is the silent voice saying? He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And that certainly breaks through every darkness that human beings can muster, because you know that no matter how bad things get, there's hope. That inspired me today. Thank you, Presidente. to share with you the sermon of St. John the Chrysostom that is read every Pascha. Now, in years past, we've read many Paschal celebratory messages from patriarchs, and certainly we'll try and do that again because we have 40 days of Pascha to celebrate. But we want to share with you now, just as much as I can, this sermon of St. John the Chrysostom, which is read every Pascha in the morning of the resurrection. If any be pious and a lover of God, let him delight in this fair and radiant festival. If any be an honest servant, let him come in and rejoice in the joy of his Lord. If any have wearied himself with fasting, let him now enjoy the recompense. If any have worked from the first hour, let him receive today his just reward. If any have come after the third, let him feast with thankfulness. If any have arrived after the sixth, in no wise let him be in doubt. In no way shall he suffer loss. If any be later than the ninth hour, let him draw nigh. Let him not waver. If any arrive only at the 11th hour, let him not be fearful for his slowness. For the Master is munificent and receiveth the last even as the first. He gives rest to the 11th even as to him who hath wrought from the first hour. He is merciful to the last, and provides for the first. And to the one he giveth, and to that one he showeth kindness. He receiveth their labors, and acknowledges the purpose. And he honors the deeds, and praises the intention. Wherefore enter ye all into the joy of our Lord, and let the first and the second take part in the reward, ye rich and ye poor. Ye join hands together, ye sober and ye heedless. Do honor to this day, you who fast and you who do not fast. Be glad today, for the table is full. Do ye all fare sumptuously. The calf is ample, let no one go forth hungry. Let all enjoy the banquet of faith. Let all enjoy the wealth of righteousness. Let no one lament his poverty, for the kingdom is made manifest to all. Let no one bewail his transgressions, for forgiveness has dawned from the tomb. Let no one be fearful of death, for the death of the Savior has set us free. He has quenched death by being subdued by death. He who came down into Hades despoiled Hades, and Hades was embittered.
It was embittered.
When it tasted of Christ's flesh. Isaiah, anticipating this, cried out and said, Hades was embittered.
It was embittered.
When below he met thee face to face, he was embittered.
It was embittered.
For he was set at naught. He was embittered.
Embittered.
For he was mocked. He was embittered.
Embittered.
For he was slain. He was embittered.
Embittered.
For he was cast down. He was embittered.
Embittered.
For he was fettered. He received the body and encountered God. He received earth and met heaven, face to face. He received what he saw, and fell whither he saw not. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Risen is Christ.
Christ is risen.
Alithos anesti. And thou art overthrown. Risen is Christ.
Truly he is risen.
And the demons are fallen. Risen is Christ.
Truly he is risen.
And the angels rejoice. Risen is Christ.
Truly he is risen.
And life doth reign. Risen is Christ.
Truly he is risen.
And there is none dead in the tombs. For Christ is raised from the dead, and is become the firstfruits of them that slept. To him be glory and dominion unto the ages of ages. Amen. Now,
people rejoice and all nations listen. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice. Dance all ye stars and sing all ye mountains. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice. Whisper ye woods and blow all ye winds. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice. O seas proclaim and roar all ye beasts. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice. Pause all ye beasts and sing all ye birds. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice. O little lambs, rejoice and be merry. Christ God is risen, let us rejoice.
Well, we said we're going to talk about also the feast, which is today. This is Friday, the 3rd of May, and the feast that follows, the Friday of after Easter, or Pascha, as we call it in the Orthodox Church, Pascha, is the story of the miracle-working fountain. And I'm reading to you now from the OrthodoxWiki.org, Life-Giving Spring is the article. The traditional account is recorded by Nesiphorus Kallistos Xanthopoulos, the last of the Greek ecclesiastical historians, who flourished around the year 1320. The tradition begins with a miracle that occurred involving a soldier named Leo Marcellus, who would later become the Byzantine emperor, Leo the First, the Thracian, who lived from 457 to 4, or reigned rather, from 457 to 474. While Leo was on his way to Constantinople, he encountered a blind man near the Golden Gate who was thirsty. Though he agreed to search for water, he wasn't able to find any. A female voice was then heard, who told the future emperor that there was water nearby. Looking about, he could see no one, and neither could he see any water. Then he heard the voice again. Emperor Leo, go into the deepest part of the woods. You will find water there. Take some of the cloudy water in your hands, and give it to the blind man to drink. Take the clay and put it on his eyes, and then you shall know who I am. The same voice added that she had chosen that very place to be venerated, and prophesied that he would one day receive the crown to the empire. Leo followed her order, and at once the blind man recovered his eyesight. After his accession to the throne, the emperor erected a magnificent church on this place, and the water continued to work miraculous cures. Therefore, it was called the life-giving spring. And now you might say, what does that have to do with Easter and so forth? Well, it doesn't. I don't know how it's connected to Easter, other than to think that from the tomb sprang forth life. From the tomb sprang forth life. Christ is the life of all. And he is the water. He said, he called himself water to the Samaritan woman. He said, if you only knew who it is who's asking you for water, you would have asked him for water. And he would have given you water that springs forth to everlasting life.
That is a great conversation, by the way. It's like one of the conversations of conversation.
I agree. And it's one of my favorite conversations in the Bible, too. And it's one of the Sundays of Easter, is the Samaritan woman. So obviously the church agrees with you.
Is she coming up after the myrrh-bearing women? Or?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Maybe there's one in between. I should look and check. But anyway, so Christ is water. He is the water. He's the water that came from the rock when they were in the desert. But every water has a fountain that the water springs from. And the church said the Virgin Mary is that fountain.
Well, I mean, if you think about how, I mean, you brought up the Samaritan woman, and of course we know that she later took on the name Fotini, which means the lumen, so we've got water and light now surrounding her story and everything, mm-hmm. which is really nice, but how refreshing it can be to be in a good conversation with someone.
Yes, it certainly can.
And so how word becomes water.
I never thought of it that way, but I think you're 100% right. So yes, And if it can happen for us in our just common discussions with human beings, imagine how much more when the topic is of something holy. And then even more that those words become water because they lead us to everlasting life. So here is this woman. Well, anyway, we're getting back to the Virgin Mary now, not just any woman, the Holy Theotokos. And she is the fountain from which the water pours forth. And so there's a poetic connection between her and her son. That she is the fountain, and she's therefore the life-giving fountain, because the
she
water
gave birth to the Word.
Yes, the Word and the water that she gave birth to is life-giving. Christ Himself, He's the eternal life. He's the source of life for all humankind.
And the history of this fountain is.
Well, I just read it.
I mean, you read the thing, but I mean the more recent history. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, if you go to Constantinople today, of course, everyone else calls it Istanbul. But if you go to Constantinople, you will find that this church is in the Balukli region. And Balukli, it turns out, is a reference to this fountain. It has to do with little fish. Balukli has to do with little fishies.
The word Balukli.
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
In Turkish. So if you go to this place and you find the monastery, which is not too hard to find, you'll see that the church, there's no fountain at all in the church. You look at the church, it's a beautiful church, but it's nothing. But then, if you're in the know and somebody there to guide you, there's a set of steps, about 20-some steps. Have you been, Presidente?
Yeah,
okay.
I've been there. Yeah.
So you remember those steps then?
Oh, the whole place is marble-clad, too.
It's a very white room. So you come down these steps, boom, 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 and you're in the middle of this. I don't know how there's light in there, because it's underground, but there seems to be a lot of light coming in from somewhere.
Yeah, well, they have, it's like an atrium.
Okay, there's
some light. There's windows up way up high.
Okay, and then the room being all clad in marble, so it's white marble. So it gives off a lot of light.
And it's all a room that they built to ensconce this fountain.
Maybe you're saying the same thing, but just to be clear, that was the place of the original church. It was at that level. But as often happens in civilizations, the lower levels are the earlier civilization, and the higher levels are the later civilization.
Right. I
have no idea how that happens. Yeah. But basically, where the church is built now that you see from the street level is, a product of, I don't know, 1800s or something, or maybe earlier than that. But when you go below, then you see this chapel, and you see there the fountain. You see their water collected, and you see the little fish swimming in it.
And people coming from all walks of life to take a little bit of that water home.
Yes, and you can say, well, does it work miracles? Well, to be honest with you, just to drink it, you feel that you've been blessed. So that's enough of a miracle for me, but some people, I'm sure, do have other miracles that take place with that. Thank you for asking the questions.
banks of the River Jordan are the footprints of John the Baptist. He was given the highest glory, final messenger of the prophets. And from the hills they came to hear his cry. The Son of God will reign, forever lives his name.
We haven't had Jimmy Santis on our radio program for some time. He was one of the first musicians we played on this radio program, Jimmy Santis.
Yeah, it's true.
And I hope by God's grace we bump into each other again. We have a bit of sorrowful news to share today, and maybe in the light of the resurrection it's less sorrowful, but and that is the death of a dear friend of ours for many, many years, a presbytera Eleni Dimitri.
Who has an amazing story, and she... to think that she died during Holy Week.
Oh, was it during Holy Week?
I mean, no, I'm sorry, she died during Bright Week, which is an amazing thing.
Well, she is a woman of tremendous faith. Her husband is still living. He's the priest, Father Dimitri, but he was incapacitated with a stroke some years ago, and so he might not even know what happened. It might be hard for him to comprehend.
I had the blessing of talking to her a few months ago.
Did you?
Yeah, she was very encouraging. I hadn't talked to her for a long time. She didn't let me know that she was ill or anything, so... But I know that she had a lot of stress, but anyways, I don't know if it's okay for us to talk about it, but...
No, not that on the radio, but we are thankful for her life of ministry to the church and her beautiful ministry to her husband. And of course,
her parishioners are all saying things like what a light she was in their lives and how much they love her and...
She was a good woman. She is a good woman. I want to say that in present tense. She's with the risen Lord now of the faith. And that's one of the things that we as Orthodox actually, we're a little strange, I know that, but we look forward, if God were to bless us to die at any time, for us the perfect time to die is Bright Week. That's the best time to die as an Orthodox Christian, because you're in the light of the resurrection. And may God rest her soul.
You know, I am glad that you talked about Presbytera Eleni, and I'm wondering if, even though today is St. Timothy and Mavra, right?
Yes.
But we have such little time. We only have 2 minutes to go.
Yes.
And I'm thinking we don't really have time to read it.
Yes, we don't have time to tell the story now. But just to say briefly that here was a beautiful couple who both of them, and their husband and wife, in love with each other, and then because of their devotion to each other and their devotion to fellow Christians, the bishop esteemed the man ready to be a priest, and then they also were forced into the difficult choice of whether or not to be martyrs, and both of them fearlessly accepted the challenge, and it's a beautiful story worth reading, but we don't have time to read today.
Well, could we do it on another day, or maybe we could ask for it to be read, and we could put it in our archive.
That's a lovely idea.
Because that way we could take our time with reading it.
That's a lovely idea. Okay, good idea. So now we come to the end of our program. As always, it's a pleasure and a blessing for us to be with you. If you had pleasure and blessing, you get pleasure. So a pleasure and a blessing to be with you. And we thank you for your dedication to listening to our program. We want to remind you that this program is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. Christos Anesti.
Alithos Anesti.